don't move, my soul.
Yeah. It's a big game. Who you know that got it behind the scenes like behind the O-line soon as the QB say hype? It's big game, big game, analysis from the player's point of view, injuries, big trades, player news, sector competition, any play with Tony Dungy, better listen, I'm talking about
Big Game Sports Buzz,
said everything you need and more,
Big Game Sports Buzz.
I thought I told you once before, we call him
Big Game James, Big Game James, Big Game James.
What's up, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Big Game Sports Buzz, where the sports fanatic and the pro athlete get together to talk about all things sports and everything that revolves around it. I am Jay Stocks, the buff nerd. Let's go. And, of course, I am joined by the man, the myth, the legend, the reason why we even have the show named what it is, Big Game James. What up, guy? How are you? Happy New Year to you,
Happy
sir.
Happy New Year. What's up, baby?
Merry New Year. Merry New Year. And before we go any further, there you go, hit the horn. Before we go any further, let's go ahead and shout out my guy's born day today. I said I wasn't going to do it, but I'm going to do it. Happy born day. Your mom, man, she, all my heart and love goes to her for pushing you out. What a wonderful lady for that.
She didn't have to push hard. I was 3 pounds, but you're right.
Test two, baby. Look. But no, man. Seriously, happy born day. I'm so glad to know you're one of the best people that I know.
Appreciate it, brother. Appreciate it. Yeah, man.
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. So, best wishes. How's your new year, man? How's your holidays?
Man, everything's been great. You know, my mom's been in town pretty much for 2 weeks. So it's been awesome, man. Mama's here. She's getting ready to go back home to Florida tomorrow. But just had a really good time being able to just, you know, chill out, relax. You know, my oldest is home from school, just having everybody together, people, friends coming over, you know, celebrating the New Year's and then, you know, did a little early birthday dinner today. It was awesome, man. Awesome, nice. Good time.
Nice, yeah. I know that electricity bill, it's going to be high, sky high,
Yes, sir. It is. It's up there.
That electricity and that food bill. You'd be like, I love you,
bro. Turn off the lights.
Sound like Teddy Pendergrass. Oh, for sure. But hey, man, you know, we've got a really good show, of course. Episode 60, and I think I got that correctly.
You did.
Episode 60.
Hey, that's an awesome job, because normally you tear that up.
Thank you. That's what I'm trying to do. Of course, tonight we're going to have on the segments, let me get it together, Four Downs, Oh Hell Nah, Between the Lines. Are you doing that thing you do?
Oh, I got a good one. Good one. Right. One gotta go. Yes.
And of course, tonight's top five sports moments of 2022. If you have not, and we'll address it in the four downs. We'll address it in the four downs.
Okay.
I'm going to switch the order here so we can address it first, if that's okay with you. But yo, let's go ahead. Make sure that you like. Thank you, Big Game. Awesome job. Hey, make sure that you like, subscribe, smash that bell, okay, so you know when Big Game Sports Buzz and all other Big Game Entertainment sports shows are on, or shows are on, podcasts are on. We have Cowboys Cutting Up tomorrow, definitely for sure, 8 p.m. And, of course, new show coming out, Two Birds, One Show, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. Two guys from Philly talking, Philly Sports Craft Beer. Definitely check them out. Good stuff, good content they're pushing out. On the four downs, so we've got to address it. If you have not seen the short that Big Game has put out about DeMar Hamlin, check it out. I think it's one of his best. to be honest with you. I think it's one of your best, Big Game.
Appreciate that. Man.
You know, talking about it from the players' perspective. And we've heard from different players. I think Ryan Clark did an excellent job.
Yeah.
The night of, yeah. Right, with Scott Van Pelt.
And Booger McFarland did too.
Yeah, and Booger too. Yeah. But I really like RC's. I think he did a great job. But definitely check out that short. It's on Big Game Sports Buzz and Big Game Entertainment as well. You can check that out. But I want you to just recap, if you will, and I'm going to sit back. But if you'll just kind of talk about that whole piece when you have something like that happen, and then I'm going to ask this question with it. Did the NFL get it right? Did they do it right? From everything that we've read and seen, did they do it right? So I'm going to let you go. I'm gonna go ahead, take me out. Talk about what you talked about in your short, man.
Well, you know, Jay, it was really hard to watch that last night and in fast live motion when I saw it happen. I mean, it was a hard hit. You know, T. Higgins was running hard. Damar Hamlin came in, made the tackle, and then I saw him down. But then when they went to the replay and they showed him jump, you know, pop up and then stumble and fall back down, I was like, man, he got knocked out. You know, I'm thinking it's a straight-up head injury. But then, you know, the longer it took, the players came out on the sideline, kneeled around him, and then when they mentioned CPR, you knew something very serious was going on, and it was something that, you know, I never experienced before. I was blessed to play 8 years of professional football, 5 in the NFL, 3 in the Arena Football League. You know, you see a lot of different things happen. You see injuries all the time. And Ryan Clark made a statement, but it was a true statement. You know, back when an injury would happen in practice or even sometimes games, you know, you move the drill down 15 to 20 yards and you keep going with practice. So you learn, you witness injuries, you witness things happen, but you're always moving on. You always keep going. Last night was something so horrific and unlike anything else, they couldn't keep going. TV had to cut away. The announcers were trying to find the right things to say. And when you see a teammate get hurt, even when you see someone on the opposing team get hurt as a player, you never like to see this because it's a battle and it's competition. But at the same time, you never know when you might end up on a team with that guy from the opposing team somewhere else in free agency. So it's always a brotherhood as well for a lot of people and a lot of guys. So to see him down on the ground, not moving, but to see the emotion that it took on his teammates' faces let you know how serious it was. And it just shows you that, you know, life is short, life is important, and you got to maximize the opportunity. And Ryan Clark made a very good point, Jay. He said, as a kid, you have a dream, and then you're living this dream out, and here it is. Damar Hamlin's 24 years old in his second year in the NFL, playing on the biggest stage of football. When I say biggest, it's not the Super Bowl, but Jay, we used to all talk about wanting to play on Monday Night Football, dog. Monday Night Football, like I said in my short, was the pinnacle of the week. You knew that after all those games finished on Sunday, you get to Monday, all eyes were on those two teams playing, and you wanted to ball out to make a statement for all your peers in the league to admire the job you did playing on the field, right? So here it is, this kid, and I say kid because he's 24 years old, stepped up when he had to, got moved into a starting role, playing great football, you know, probably having the time of his life, just living his dream out, and all of a sudden, just that fast, in 1 second, his life has changed. And when I say his life has changed, we're still praying and hoping that his life continues. He's in critical condition right now in an induced coma. Man, it's the scariest thing in the world. And the more I think about it, you know, I got choked up even talking with my mom about it. You know, my mom, one point in time when I got hurt in college, she was like, I'm glad you're living your dream, but I hate it at the same time. It's so scary. So just think about what his family had to go through. Thank God his mother was there. She didn't have to hear about it from afar. She was able to be there for him. But whenever you see anyone get hurt, you don't like it. And to have to be on that field and witness what he went through during that Monday night game, 10 minutes into a game, I can't even imagine what it did to both players on the field and on the sideline. Now, to talk about and answer your question, did the NFL get it right? The NFL did what was right in the long haul to make themselves look right. That being said, there's no part of me that's going, I will sit up here and say it right now. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong, but I doubt it and I believe it in all my heart. They wanted to find a way to finish that game. But the severity of the injury just was too much. If at any time DeMar Hamlin would have moved a limb and gave a thumbs up, that game would have continued. Point blank.
Yeah.
Period. They want to try to finish that game. And and that's the thing. That's just like when 9/11 happened. You know, that was the era I played in. I'm in a training room, and I remember one of our trainers going like, holy shit, come look at this. I'm hurt. I had some guys off the table to get me to the players' lounge in front of our, you know, our big TV, and you just saw an airplane flying to the World Trade Center. You're like, what the? And here it was until different reps, like people like Michael Strahan, was it Troy Vincent still playing at the time? Yeah, Troy Vincent was playing at the time. Yeah. These big name guys, they're like, all right, well, you know, we're going to move this one game to here, move this to here. And then they're like, we're not playing football in New York, and this plane just flew into a building. We don't know what's going on. We don't know the severity of these attacks. Will they attack a stadium? It was when the players took a stand that the NFL was like, well, okay, well, we'll reschedule and move everything back a week. And that's what they did. They added that second week of the season, the first week of the season, second week of the season, I believe it was at the time. To the end of the year. And this kind of, I think the coaches and the players, when they got together and moved it to the tunnel of the locker room, I think both head coaches, I'm going to commend them without even talking to them or knowing, but I can just tell, look at the look in their faces and eyes when they had that conversation, Jay, was more or less like, hey, look, hey man, I know this, take care of your team. Make sure you guys are right. We don't have to do this. And I'm sure they gave the New York office like, hey, look, we can't do this. These guys can't. And my thing, Jay, I don't care how good of an athlete you are. You prepare to do battle. You prepare to do your best to play against people. Mm-hmm. You don't prepare to see your teammate getting CPR, his chest compressed, and then the AED, the defibrillator had to go on to him to shock him and revive him. You don't see that. I mean, that's one thing I told people. I've seen compound fractures. I've seen torn knees. I've seen legs facing the opposite way. I've seen hand dislocations. You've seen some gross stuff. They're like, oh, God. Then you go to the trainer like, hey, is everything going to be straight? Hey, it's broke. You know, he'll have that surgery. He's going to miss some time, but everything's going to be fine. Mm-hmm. And you get a peace of mind, and you go back and play again. There's no peace of mind coming when you know your teammate, in the back of your mind, your teammate's in the hospital.
Right.
You don't know if he's still breathing, not breathing, or anything else. So the NFL said the right thing, because I believe this too. Someone said it last night. Joe Buck has been covering sports for a long time. He's probably one of the most thorough announcers out there. For him to say these guys are going to take a 5-minute break and then resume, he heard that from somewhere. He got it from somewhere. And now Troy Vincent, the NFL, saying, well, we don't know where they got that from. We never said that. I'm not buying that part. I believe that if they could have figured out a way to resume play and make it tasteful, they would have tried to do it. They couldn't. There was no way around the look, because we all know the NFL is a machine, and they have an image that they look out for. Now, Dominic Foxworth said some great things on some different shows today about, you know, there's a lot of other guys that have gone through different kind of things that didn't happen immediately on the field, but afterwards, that the NFL needs to take care of and think about as well. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
We know about DeMar Hamlin because of something horrific that happened on the field, that you wish and pray that would have never happened, but it did.
Yeah,
we need to bring awareness to everyone, everything that goes on, these guys that have these mental issues after the game from all the head trauma and contact. I mean, yes, players sign up for it. Yeah, I know that. People will say like, well, no one's making you play. Never said anyone's making you play. But still, for this to be the most violent sport in America, and still not have guaranteed contracts or lifetime health insurance, there's a problem with that. Because the NFL is a multi-billion, billion with a B, dollar company. Yeah. Not million, B, billion.
Yeah.
And it's got to be a way to make sure that people are taken care of.
Word. Hey, I can't say anything else to that. Won't say anything else to that. Thank you so much for those words and that perspective. You know what I'm saying? And yeah, I was going to put that up there for you, man. You know what I'm saying? I was going to let you get through that because I just didn't want to. But, you know, yeah. Aisha, thank you for coming in, Keith. Good to see you, my guy. Yeah, so other news, other things that's happening. Again, thank you for that, man. That was beautiful.
Appreciate you, man.
Ed Reed named head coach of Bethune-Cookman. Now, if you don't know, yeah, for sure. If you're not aware of what or who Bethune-Cookman College is, it is a historically black college, university, that is in Daytona, Florida. Okay. It is named after Mary McLeod Bethune.
Yeah, there. I don't say Mary some Bethune. I wasn't trying to.
Yeah, Mary McLeod Bethune. Okay. She was a long time education person, teacher, and things of that, as well as an activist. She was considered to be one of the persons that laid the groundwork of the civil rights movement in its early stages. So that's the history of the school. To put some more history into this, so they used to be in the MEAC, right? Mid-Eastern Atlantic Conference. And they switched over to the SWAC, Southwestern Athletic Conference in the East, and that's where they are now. In the past 2 years, 2022, 2021, they were 2-9, right? They didn't play in the COVID year. The year before that, in 2019, they were 7-4. I just want to put some things in perspective here. Now, this is one thing that we're going to talk about the counterpart here, but Shannon Sharp said this on Undisputed, and this is what I agree with. He said this back on December 28th. It's great for Bethune-Cookman. It's great for HBCUs. It's great for those players. Glad that Ed Reed is there, but he is no Deion, so don't compare him to Deion. He's one person. He is the only person that can do what he has done, but he has laid the groundwork. I had this discussion with a person over New Year's. And they talked about how they were disappointed in Deion. He should have stayed 3 more years. And it's like, why? For what?
Right. He did his job. He did something to make something better. What else did you want from
Deion? He made it better.
He made it better.
I say he laid the groundwork. And the issue that I have is that you have people that don't support those programs that look like the people that are in the programs. So, yeah, I said that. So, if you want it to be better, he's already laid the groundwork. Now take it forward. You have Ed Reed that's now in the league. You have Eddie George. You have Hugh Jackson. You have people that are from the NFL that are coaching, head coaches. Bring your people with you. Bring a system. Bring people that know how to play right with you, because he came from the U. So he understands the culture of winning.
Right.
He understands that. So, you know, big up to him. I don't know how this is going to work out. I don't know. But you have more eyes now on HBCUs.
Right. Jay, this is my thing. I called it the Deion Sanders effect because I believe a couple things. A lot of these universities and the university athletic directors are going to look for those former Hall of Fame NFL guys that they know that may have some interest in coaching football, college football, and say, hey, why not do it here with us? And let's see what we can do. Now, one thing I know that I think Ed Reed has in his favor, he's staying in the state of Florida, the state where he's from,
right?
The state that he knows, a state he can more than likely recruit well, right?
Yeah.
Now, we all know, Shannon said this before, because he played in a small HBCU in Savannah State. It's all going to come down to the facilities, and we know that the facilities are not on even playing ground with Division I schools or even bigger FCS schools, right? That was something Deion Sanders went in and was able to do at Jackson State. Mm-hmm. He was able to get new athletic facilities, training facilities, upgrades, modifications.
Right.
Bethune is going to have less of a budget. Now, yeah. Not that Jackson State had the budget. Deion Sanders reached out and used his resources. The one mm-hmm. thing I know about that gold jacket, Jay, the only gold jacket I'll ever wear is if I go buy one, right?
Okay.
I'm about to go buy my gold jacket. My gold jacket's not coming from Canton, Ohio, right?
All right.
That gold jacket carries a lot of weight. It gets you into a lot of doors that, you know, your regular jacket not going to get you into.
Right.
So when I say, you know, yeah, you're right. You cannot compare Ed Reed and Deion Sanders, nor do I think Ed Reed would ever want to be compared to Deion Sanders, because Ed Reed is his own person, his own man.
Yes.
Ed Reed still has resources as well. Now, they may not be as deep as Deion's, but they're deep. And I think it's going to be enough to where he can put a positive spinning light on Bethune-Cookman and maybe help keep some of those kids home in the state of Florida and get that football program going again. Now, and this is my thing, too. If Ed Reed's goal is to advance his coaching career and move on as well, he's going to have success at Bethune-Cookman. And then I wish him all the luck in the world, because this is the whole thing. And when people talk about Deion Sanders lied, he told the kids that they didn't need to go to a predominantly white school to have success. Then he went to a predominantly white school to get a pay raise. And we always talk about the advancement of color people, the advancement of black people. We want them to move on. Yeah, I want to send my son to a Division I school one day. But, hell, can he have a coach that looks like him? 120 schools, and I think, what, five or something like black, the number of black head coaches is pathetic. Let's call it what it is. And let's be real. If Deion Sanders didn't go have the seasons that he had at Jackson State, he would have never got called by Colorado. If he didn't have the fire, the attention, the social media buzz, he never would have got hired by the University of Colorado. Yeah. So let's not make it sound like he just jumped ship. He established a culture. He built his brand up, his coaching brand. The brand of primetime is the brand of primetime, right?
Sure.
And Ed Reed kind of has his own way of marketing himself the same kind of way. And I think it's great for everyone involved. And I think it's a trend. I don't like to call it a trend because, you know, trends come and go. But I believe when I say it's a trend, I believe it's an avenue now that African-American players know that they have at their disposal if they want to advance a coaching career. Because how long have we talked about Eric Bieniemy getting moved up in the NFL and he's still sitting around holding the clipboard for one of the number one ranked offenses in the league and he can't get a job? D'Amico Ryans is probably one of the hottest defensive coordinators in the league, has San Francisco looking awesome.
He
can't. So we got
good question, Joe.
We got to do different things.
Yeah, will he stay? I think, and that's what Big Game I think is alluding to is,
hey Joe, you know,
how long will he stay?
I think, hey Joe, I'm gonna be honest with you, dog. I honestly believe, like I said, I don't know, and I know somebody that knows Ed, and I reached out to him to try to see if he can't get me in contact, even if it's just a message back and forth, and I read the message on one of the shows. I really want to try to get Ed on here, man. I don't know what his ultimate goal is. So to me, if his ultimate goal is a coach, maybe back at the U one day when the crystal ball is gone, because it's a revolving door. Deion said it. You elevating or you resignation, right?
Yeah.
So I believe Ed is trying to get that resume together because he coached 1 year NFL as a DB's coach. Then he went on to the University of Miami as a pretty much an analyst, not analysis, a consultant. Yeah. So he helped with, recruiting consultant, different things, the ways of running the program. They kept him around because he's great energy, dude. Like, I ran into Ed Reed one time in New Orleans, talked to him real quick at a place. And, dude, the dude's energy is amazing. Like, it fills a room up. So he's going to be great around young people. But I think the ultimate question is, what's Ed Reed's goal? Is his goal to be a D1 college football coach, or is it just to, you know, build up a program, start a culture, and stay there? Because, you know, we have some guys that played in the NFL that are head coaches at HBCUs. They're just not Hall of Fame guys, so they don't get the publicity and push like the Deions, the Ed Reeds, the Eddie Georges.
Right.
And, you know, Hugh Jackson was, you know, he's not a Hall of Fame player. He's just an NFL coach that came in a grambling to try to switch a culture, which I'm not mad at all. Ed Reed, I tip the hat to you, brother. I wish you the best of luck, and hell, go get it, man. Go. So whatever Ed wants to do, if he wants to stay, stay forever. If you want to dip, peace after you get it going. The thing is, yeah, make it better than you found it, right, Jay?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And that's it. And I mean, this is the other thing. We also have to understand that this is a Division I FCS conference. Okay. These are Division I schools. Now, does that mean they'll get to go into a playoff? Don't know. But now we at least have with Deion at Jackson State, we can now have that conversation. You know, let's say he did win the Celebration Bowl, and it was a really good bowl game, okay? When it's overtime. But let's say he wins that Celebration Bowl. Does that mean now that Jackson State is getting that consideration to go into the playoff to at least be an at-large bid? I mean, so there's some things here that, I mean, you know.
But it changes conversation. I get what you're saying, Jay Stocks. I get what you're saying.
You know, in order to have the conversation, you have to be in the conversation, right? So in order for you to at least say, or people to say, you know what? Jackson State, why not? Let's see, right? And I think what's going to happen is you're going to have the comparison of course, Jackson, Coach Prime at Jackson State, and like I said, Ed Reed at Coach Reed at Bethune-Cookman. But I'm all for it. I'm here for it, man. I'm definitely going to be watching him. I'll put Bethune-Cookman app on my Fire Stick as well, and go from there. But you know, like
Hail Wildcats,
let's go.
Hey, but you know what happened, Jay? You know what happened to Jackson State in the playoffs?
They may get spanked, man, but at least, you know, hey, you never know. You never know because that brings us to the third down, though.
Okay.
Right? CFP National Championships. Guess what, folks?
Woo.
Now, Big Game likes to say, I'm one of those people that likes to say, I told you so.
You are.
I told you so. I told you so. I told you so. It's something about this Horned Frogs team, and I won't say Team of Destiny. I hate using that term. But there's something about them and the way they play and the way Michigan and Jim Harbaugh likes to choke in these big games. It's something about it. Call me wrong. Call me whatever. But this guy cannot win the big one when it matters. Those are facts. Prove me wrong. Yes, he beat Ohio State. Awesome. He beat them last year. And guess what happened? He still lost. He doesn't have a championship to his name. So here's what I'm saying.
Ouch.
TCU did what they had to do. They were in command of that game the whole time. The whole time. Yeah, it got close, but they had two pick sixes in one game. Two pick sixes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who does that? You put 51 up on Michigan. 51.
And that defense looked good in the Big 12 championship game and against Ohio State. I'll be the first to say this. I am a Michigan fan just from a long time ago, not trying to be funny. And I was really pulling for TCU, Jay. I was pulling for them, but I did not think they were going to have a chance. I said, it depends on if they can battle up front.
Yeah.
Dude, they O-line and D-line had no problems at all.
Hey.
They O-line had no problems at all. So
Joe, those
now
are
Joe, I know you a Georgia Bulldogs guy, Joe. We're gonna talk about that in a minute. But we got to give TCU a little bit of respect and congratulate them on upsetting Michigan, which nobody thought that they had a chance to upset Michigan, right?
Paul Feinbaum came on and said, TCU, nobody's gonna be watching that. TCU, they don't travel. Yes, guess what? Yes, we do. Yeah, that's fine. We ready for it. We are ready for it. I'm telling you this. Like I said, this is not a Team of Destiny. I won't say that.
Okay.
But let's go to the other semifinal game.
Because we got Joe watching.
We got Joe watching.
What the hell happened to that defensive line and that secondary y'all had,
man,
for UGA? Now, hey. Joe, you know, we done talked before. You done DJ my son's birthday party back in the day, right? I'm a Georgia fan now. Don't get it twisted, y'all. Y'all know I'm a Georgia boy at heart. That's where I was born, right?
That's why I like you, Joe. You said TCU went cool. But
that lack of pass rush really got me worried about Georgia because they showed up not ready to play at all. I thought Georgia was going to kill Ohio State.
Weren't they supposed to? No, well, I won't say kill. I won't say kill.
According to
the they were supposed to. Well, they were supposed to play better than they were supposed to show better than what they did.
Hey, Jay, stop. They were supposed to.
Go ahead.
Everyone on Georgia's team needs to send a thank you to Marvin Harrison Jr. because if he didn't get hurt, they lose that game.
They lose that game.
They could not stop him. They still trying to figure out how to cover him in the game. It's over. Yes, I said it.
Yeah. Preseason rank number two. Okay, fine. Preseason rank number two. But the reality is that Georgia, in my opinion, they're supposed to have the best, one of the best defenses in the nation. And you know what I'll say? I'll say they do. But it did not show that game. And so in order for Georgia, for UGA, to come out in the next game this coming Monday, January 9th, they're going to have to show it. They're going to have to bring everybody plus the house because TCU has nothing to lose at this point.
None.
They're playing with they're not playing with house money. They're playing with the community's money. They're playing with the town's money. They're playing with the city's money. Okay? they playing with all of it. I understand. We do. Yeah, they're going to have to bring the house. Someone from within that school, that program, is going to have to sit them down and say, listen, you're Georgia. You're Georgia defense. This is not what we do.
I think it already happened, Jay. I think Kirby Smart already did that. This
TCU? Yeah. I can argue that.
This is the worst thing that happened for TCU. That Georgia played a close-ass game on national TV almost lost. So now I think it'll be a different team and a different mindset, knowing that they can't underestimate TCU. But at the same time, did they give TCU the formula to beat Georgia?
That's what I was going to say. I think this is Rocky IV. This is Rocky IV right here.
Damn.
This is you know, you beat Apollo. You beat Apollo Creed, you know, and you've been decimating people. And yeah, it came close, but now he got cut. Drago got cut. And now you got he's a man. He's just a man. That's all he is just a man. That's what happened. UGA was Drago. Well, yeah, he got his ass kicked. He did.
Rocky won though. He got beat up doing it, but he won in the end.
That's all that matters. He won in the end. And when you don't have anything to lose,
that's what Rocky did to Drago in that last round.
Hey, in that last round, that's what I'm saying. That's all you need. That's all you need. At the end of the day, that's all you need, man. Because I'm telling you, UGA is going to have to bring the house. Now, they may, in the end, in the fourth quarter, take it to them. The over-under right now is 62.5, I believe is what it is.
Ooh, Lord, right? It should be. They scored. I mean, think about it. Georgia scored 38, right? And then TCU scored 51.
Georgia scored 40, was it 41?
I thought it was 38, 35. You might be right. I might be tripping.
They scored a lot of points. It was over 40. Yeah, it was basically over. Yeah, it's a movie. I get that. It's a movie. But there's still references here, man. There's still references here. Like I said, you know, y'all was so upset. Y'all was crying. I saw the people in the stands boo-hooing all, you know, all the little Georgia people just, it's over. Kirby Smart ain't that smart. Then at the last second, guess what? Yeah, they're going to have, man, I don't know if 45 is going to make it. I honestly don't think 45 may make it, man. You may need more than that with this team because their defense is a opportunistic defense. Their offense can score at will. They got fast guys on the outside. They got a good running back. And Max Duggan plays to win. And he doesn't care what he's going to do. And that third down conversion, man, I'm telling you, it's something.
Teach me how to Duggan. Teach me how to Duggan. Teach me how to Duggan.
Look, Joe, that's fine. You can tell me to stop it, but I tell you what, on the 9th, on the 10th, I want to see you here. On the 10th, I want to see you back here.
Come back here on the
10th. That's all I'm going to say, Joe. On the 10th, come see me. Come see us.
Hey, Joe, I'm going to reach out to you, man. I'll send you a link. We'll have you come on and talk for a few minutes.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. We'll definitely do that.
You know, because Jay Styles,
we'll definitely do that.
Jay Styles is going to talk smack. I want to see TCU do well, but I'm not going to lie to you. I want Georgia to repeat as national champions. I said this already. I'm just saying, I love an underdog story, but you know what I'm saying? I might not be able to go back to my red clay state if I picked against my Georgia Dogs.
At the house, man. I'm watching at the house. I got a new TV for Christmas. I'm watching at the house. TV
is as big as a wall, bro. It's off the chain. That's nice TV. Nice TV.
You know what? We may reach out, man. You know what? I may watch in a spot at your mama's house down in Fort Worth. It's a spot called your mama's house.
I thought you were trying to be funny. Disrespect. What'd you say?
No disrespect.
Called your mama's house? I need to go there. I need to find that.
Your mama's house.
I wish my wife would call. Hey, where you at? Your mama's house. Boy, I'm going to kill you.
But we'll probably watch it at the house, man. You know what I'm saying? And, hey, come on through. That's for sure. But yo, let's get to this fourth down. Keeping in CFP and actually bowl season, major wins and major losses. What made you say wow? What made you say wow?
All right, man. First and foremost, since you kicked that off, I feel like you asked me a question. And one major loss, I witnessed it yesterday. The USC Trojans in the Goodyear Cotton Bowl, up 15 points with 4 minutes left, and they lost the game. First and foremost, I will say this. I was so happy to see Heisman Trophy winner Caleb Williams in person to watch him play. You know, one bad play, one bad interception early in the game that I wasn't crazy about. But that USC defense, man, was a total letdown to me. And for them to play the way they played most of the year, to make a bounce back with Lincoln Riley taking over. You know, shout out to the USC Trojans. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to sit up here and dog another LA team like I usually do when
That defense was a wreck. That defense has been a wreck.
Yeah. The defense has to get rectified. You're right, Jay. But
they can't tackle.
They just got number 22 for Tulane drafted, for sure.
Yeah,
you can punch his ticket to the NFL draft now because of the USC defense. No doubt about it. But I'm just saying that was a major.
Because your team suck, Aisha. Sorry.
Hey, babe, we can't say capping no more. Capping means lying. So we got to change that. Like the capping, for how we say capping works, but for the new age people.
Why are we dragging your team?
Why are we dragging your team?
Why are you dragging? Because your team suck.
Wow.
Right, Joe? They trash. SC is trash. LA is trash. They're trash.
Hey,
trash. I love you, Aisha. I love you. They trash, though.
Rewind. Come on now. And then another thing that surprised me, Jay, the powerful SEC. The SEC getting so much love, so much pub.
Man.
And besides Alabama and like LSU, I think. Yeah. Did Mississippi State come back and win yesterday?
I don't think so.
Hey, man, SEC football got their ass drugged during these bowl season. They supposed to be the big boys on the block. I tell everybody, you take away them.
No, Mississippi State did win.
Did they win? Okay.
State won. Ole Miss loss.
Ole Miss lost. But my thing is, you take away Georgia, Alabama, and LSU, and the SEC is just the Big 12 or the Big 10. There ain't nothing special about them.
Come on, girl. Come on. Come on, come on, come over here. Gonna limp back. That's all I'm gonna say. I got you. Look, you know, that was your win. That was your loss or your wows?
My win.
Yeah.
Oh man, I don't know. Do I give it a pin? I don't know who to give it to. It's like 9,000 bowl games. I watched a lot of them. I got three. On some. I may agree with you. You might rejar my memory, dog.
Yeah. Okay. So, look, my win was obviously Tulane. You know, considering this is considered the biggest turnaround.
11-2 this season. Okay, I'll give you that. I'll give
in NCAA history, right? And of course, that means that USC is a big loser because they lost.
Damn.
I mean, the way in the fashion that they
you
lost.
You had to say loser like that, though?
Loser. I mean, dude, it was so bad. A big win, Penn State. Now, yeah. I'm not saying they're back, but that's a great win for them. They were underdogs in the granddaddy of them all. They came in and they won.
And set two scoring records. They set two Rose Bowl records for the longest plays ever in Rose Bowl history. Yeah. So, you know, you got to go ahead and give it up for.
Yeah, Joe, they looked good. They looked good. And this is the same coach that is on the hot seat for whatever reason, right, with who he shouldn't be. But Penn State looked good. Well, yeah, there's that part. But, I mean, they're ranked in the top 25, hell, top 15. I think they were 11 or something like that. They're ranked in top 15. They go to the Rose Bowl. They win the Rose Bowl. I just don't get it, man. Yeah, maybe so, but you still got to play who you play, you know. You still got to play who you play.
Yeah, the opt-out, man. That we should have put that as a segment on here because the opt-out killed a lot of schools this year. But they big tight end opted out. Hey, they were down like their third tight end starting in the game. It is what it is, dog.
Oregon State, huge win.
Woo! They beat the brakes off Florida.
You know, and we talked about SEC. For all of the SEC talk and how it's – you know, the preeminent this and preeminent that. And I continue to say, they only have two teams. They only have two teams. Who's the third?
LSU, Georgia, Alabama.
Oh, come on, man. Just stop it. Stop with this LSU. Stop with this LSU, okay? They play Purdue. Stop it. Stop it.
And?
All right. They got two teams. That's it. I'll give you three of the interchanges, Tennessee, you know, LSU, whatever.
Tennessee just came back to relevance this year.
It just came back. Right. So I'll give you maybe two or three. Out of how many teams? They got 16?
Come on, 14 man. Until Texas and Oklahoma take their behind over there to get drugged.
Now, I'm glad you said that, right? Yeah, Tennessee, whatever. I'm glad you said that because I said, right, and Florida is a big loser. But also Texas and Oklahoma. And I love Texas. I do. But they're losers. They're losers. Number one, you lose to Washington. You lose to Washington. You shouldn't have. Okay? You shouldn't have lost to Washington.
Yeah, but Penner, that quarterback for Washington doesn't get a lot of love. He out on the West Coast, and we all sleep when he's playing tonight on Saturdays. He's not bad, bro. That's not a bad.
Are you
and
done?
That, and that running back for Washington.
Are you done?
I mean, you're just a Pac-12 hater, though, Jay. We know this.
I'm not Pac-12 sucks. Pac-12 didn't win, except for Washington. And, well, Oregon State.
Oregon won. Oregon State won. Washington
who
won.
Who did Oregon play?
Oregon played North Carolina in the Holiday Bowl in San Diego.
Oh, my God. You got to be kidding. North Carolina, they're known for basketball. Stop it with this football stuff, man.
That's what we're doing North now. Carolina. We're going to discredit them?
I'm not – get some credit so I can discredit. That's all I'm saying. Prove me wrong. Prove me wrong.
They have more wins than the Big 12.
Oh.
Somebody pull it up. Let's
Big 12 is a hard conference. No more than K-State.
K-State got their ass beat by Alabama.
They did. They did. But K-State still ranked top 15.
Okay, they won't be when the final rank. Hey, K-State ran into the Sugar Bowl, and all I heard was.
they'll probably still be in the top. They'll be in the top 25, that's for sure. Texas will not be. Oklahoma should not be.
Florida
State is not back. How do you lose to Florida State like that?
Hey, man, that wide receiver number 14 from Florida State is like – reinvention or a young Randy Moss. That boy's 6'7" and just grabbing all kind of everything on them fools, man. You got to give him love, dog.
I'm giving him love, but I'm also saying that, hey, SEC, Texas, Oklahoma, okay, fine. Get beat up. They're going to get beat up. That's what's gonna happen. They're gonna get beat up.
Don't blow the whistle on that one.
Man, blow the whistle. You know what that makes me say too?
Oh hell no. 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 Oh hell no.
Oh hell no.
That's right, folks. It's the time of the show, the time of the podcast where we look at things that happen throughout the week and it makes us just say, oh, hell no. Now, make sure that you like, subscribe, smash that bell. So
give
you know
thumbs when, up.
And give a thumbs up so you know when Big Game Sports Buzz and anything that's on Big Game Entertainment is going down. Tomorrow, of course, we have Cowboys Cutting Up at 8 p.m. Myself and Trey Collis. We're going to be talking Cowboys, playoffs, possibly number one seed and home field advantage. I know. Yeah, give it all to me. And then, of course, Thursday night, 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Two Birds, One Show, new show that we got, new podcast that we got coming. They talk Philly sports and craft beer and everything else. Just start talking to them. Those guys will just go for it. So it's funny. I asked Game, and usually we don't do this, but I asked him, I said, hey, what's your old hell no this week? And he told me, I said, yeah, mine too. And it kind of goes without saying. You know, we talked about, well, Big Game talked about very eloquently and very wonderfully about DeMar Hamlin. Unfortunately, there's some stupid people out there. And this dude has been making the list here quite recently because of the stupid things that he continues to say. Every now and again, you know, he doesn't. But this time, one Skip Bayless decided to tweet during the game. During the game, this is at 8:30. He tweeted out, no doubt the NFL is considering postponing the rest of this game. But how? Question mark. This late in the season, a game of this magnitude is crucial to the regular season outcome. Dot, dot, dot. Which suddenly seems irrelevant. What are we doing, dude? Like, he had to come back and apologize. Here's the thing about Skip Bayless. Skip Bayless doesn't know his asshole from a hole in the ground, right? And unfortunately, his head is so far stuck up there that, hey, he can't do what he needs to do, right? He cannot understand what's right and what's wrong. How do you call a Hall of Famer in Shannon Sharp and say, you're not Tom Brady? Who is Tom Brady? Who is Tom Brady? But I'll tell you who Shannon Sharp is. He's a two-time Super Bowl champion, Hall of Fame tight end, right? No one could cover this dude. But yet you want to downgrade him and disregard him? Bro, what have you done? What have you done, Skip? Again, it just continues to pile on, pile on, pile on. Shannon was not there today, and I think it has something to do with the tweet. That's my personal feeling. I don't know. I don't know Shannon. I've reached out to him. He don't respond to me, but I've reached out to him. I'll continue to do so. But Shannon's one of my favorite people. He is. He's one of my favorite people to watch on these talk shows and stuff like that. But this is where you take it too far. And he tried to apologize, but you take it too far. You take it way too far. Caleb, my guy, Caleb Loves Benny. Hey, good to have you on the show, man. Coach.
Hey, what's Hey, man, Jay, you said everything so eloquently and so perfect. I don't think I need to touch on it. You know, it's gotcha. One of those things, man, to where Skip Bayless is like Colin Cowherd. Like, they both thrive on saying dumb stuff to ruffle feathers, yet they keep him around, just like a Jason Whitlock. I'm 2 weeks in a row now. Skip Bayless has weaseled his way into our old hell no segment.
Yeah.
Because he continues. How can you be so insensitive to, like, you're wondering what the magnitude and importance of a game is where a young man is in critical condition and might not live? You're wondering how a game will be played or why the NFL might stop it? Shannon Sharp should be canceled, Skip Bayless needs to be canceled right now. You know, he'll still have the followers because there's still people that think just like him.
Yeah.
You know, I read a statement about somebody or, you know, someone put on Facebook, like, get a shovel already, bury him and move on. Let's get the game going. And it's just like, if I saw anybody like that, if I saw somebody like that face to face, a statement like that, I'd punch him in the mouth. straight up. Man. You don't react that way when someone's, I mean, that's someone's life, bro. And yeah. for you to wonder about the importance of playoff ramifications because right. the Bengals and Bills won't finish a game. Oh, hell no, nah. Skip Bayless.
Yeah.
Go to the.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Christian, my guy, what's up? And that is the way you spell his name. It's spelled weird because it's wrong, but that's the way you spell it. It's not like the country.
Dude,
it's different,
bro. It's all good though.
It's all good. A born day. Hey, make sure that y'all say what's up to him in school and say, hey, happy born day, coach. Make sure you do that. Right? Yeah, wish him a happy 35th birthday.
By the time they see me again, they'll forget. We don't go back to school until next Tuesday.
There you go. 35th birthday, man. Just make sure you tell them, hey, happy 35th.
Hey.
What are we doing next?
I'm applauding you for that 35th birthday. Hey, man. It's between the lines.
Let's do it. All right. So here we're going to talk about NFL things. And, man, it's a lot of things going on. Scoggins, yo, cap, dogs, but it's all good.
No, Scoggins is where we Scoggins. Work, dog. Scoggins is the name.
Scoggins, of that's where y'all work. Hey, Scoggins, man, tell them to change the name. Hey, man. Tell them to change the name.
Richard Scoggins worked hard in the neighborhood, in the community. Hey. We're not changing the people to school because Scoggins, Stoggs is close.
It is close. But yeah, there you go. You know what I'm saying? There you go.
Thank you, Caleb. Thank you. Thank Titan. You just turned my light off, Titan. God damn it. My dog just turned my light out. I don't know what he did.
That's all right. You know, hey, it's trying to wish you happy birthday as well. Green Bay. Are they a contender? Are Ooh. They for real?
No, they're not for real because we knew. What did I tell you? When I told you when your Cowboys beat the Minnesota Vikings the way they did at home, that Minnesota was a front and a fake. So they just got exposed. Jay, when is Kirk Cousins?
Yeah.
Thank you, Joe.
Kirk Cain.
When is Kirk Cain?
Yeah.
Won a game of significance? He's had opportunities. In Washington, he had opportunities. When is Kirk Cousins won a game that mattered? And he's about to try to let Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Hackers back into the playoff picture.
Remember when they cheated the Saints that year?
Yeah. Yeah. He was
no call pass interference.
Yeah, but that was one game and they lost the next round. So whatever.
True. Hey, Caleb, I think you'd be all right, man. Just you know, I think you'd be all right.
Hey man, it's all good. He's weird.
I am weird. I don't understand how they're back in this.
Make sure y'all hit that thumbs up too, guys. Hit that thumbs up.
There you go. I don't understand how they're back in this. I don't understand how the Packers have clawed their way back in because it can't be because of Aaron Rodgers. It can't be.
Hey,
douche Dodgers.
I don't want to cut you off. I just thought of something.
What's up?
Did you see Dan Orlovsky hyping up Aaron Rodgers and he's not back in the damn playoff shit over Tom Brady and Tom Brady and the Buccaneers got in? Someone cut this segment out and tweet Dan Orlovsky, tag him in this shit. Dan Orlovsky, you talk like you're a Hall of Fame quarterback. You held a clipboard for more than half of your career and you talk like you're the greatest thing to ever throw a clip.
Slice.
He is the old saying we said L to the R. That's what Dan Orlovsky does. He's Tarzan and he swings from the L to the R. He's swinging on them things hard. Dan Orlovsky, it pissed me off. So, but Aaron Rodgers ain't even in the playoffs, and you're writing off the GOAT. Although he's a gray haired GOAT, he's still the GOAT, and he's better than Aaron. I don't give a damn what you say.
I don't know. 45. Now they got the guys coming back. They got some key people. The line is still not where it needs to be. I don't see them. I don't. I honestly don't see them beating the Cowboys. That's bias, yes. But I don't think they beat anyone in the playoffs right now, the way it's set up.
The Buccaneers?
Even with home field advantage. No, it's talking about the Bucs.
I said the Buccaneers.
Yeah, I don't see it.
The Packers defense looked good against a bad Minnesota Vikings team. I still don't think that team has enough to do anything if they had Dallas. So anyway, we're not moving out of our spot because we won where we are. We're winning the division. We'll have a home game. It's not
you win, yeah. And yeah, you'll have a home game. Now, it'll be a division. Yeah.
Jay, I'm not silly enough at all. What's up, Jonesy?
What's up?
I'm not silly enough to sit up here and tell you that, just wait until we get in and we're going to make a run and this is a new season. That's what everyone's saying because they're used to Brady's history. I'm skeptical to say that because regardless of that, Jensen's still, he might come back, but the injuries are still looming out there. We're still hurt in so many different places. We haven't consistently had the same team on the field all year. We haven't been able to run the ball. Now, would I bet against Brady? I wouldn't put no money on it against anybody because you just never know. But it's not the same team as last year. We made the comeback before losing on the field goal to the Rams, right?
So let me ask this question. With the AFC still up in the air because of, the obvious situation here, let's talk about NFC. Who is, as we go into the last week, right? It's two questions, actually. Two questions. Number one, would you play your starters if you know it will not affect your standing in the playoffs? You look like when you
grow up, I think. Open the time machine. I think then they play the starters if you're trying to get consistency and timing. A lot of people want to say, thank you, Christian.
Yeah.
A lot of people are going to say that you don't need to play them because it's not going to change anything. Let them rest.
Right.
But at the same time, if you don't have that momentum going into that playoff game, you're still rusty, I think it could hurt you as well. So I think it depends on how your team is going to benefit from playing, which in the Buccaneers' case, I don't think they can afford to rest anybody. Hell, everybody been resting. They've been hurt anyway.
Right. So I'm, again, looking at Cowboys, looking at, San Francisco. They've clinched the division. They're pretty much stuck where they are. That's I think the other question. So that actually leads me to the second part of this is, who's the scariest team in the NFC to you right now?
I want to say San Francisco, just the way they've been playing since they got McCaffrey over there. Purdy has some bad throws against the Las Vegas Raiders, but at the same time, he's consistent. That defense is awesome. They're getting more and more people back with from injury as the weeks go on. I think San Francisco, because let's face it, Philadelphia is not scary unless Jalen Hurts is playing with him. And then with Sweat, prayers out to him, serious injury he took in Sunday's game against the Saints.
Yeah.
That defense has holes in it. The best offensive tackle all pro with the bruised ribs, with the abdominal tear.
Yeah.
You got to hope that he's back for the playoffs. It's holes. Yeah. It's chinks in the armor right now. So to me, Dallas with the inconsistency, honestly, Jay, and that the inconsistency of Dak Prescott's play, and they're still vulnerable to be run on. And Mike Parsons, defense, is hurt. I think Michael Parsons is.
Yeah.
He's been hurt all season. He still plays hard as hell, but he's hurt. Being said, out of all the other teams in the NFC, I got to say San Francisco is the scariest team. No one's scared of Minnesota. You're not scared of Minnesota. Now, if Detroit gets in, he gets hot, right? The way their offense has been playing, Detroit might be a little scary. But to me, the scariest team right down the NFC is the San Francisco 49ers.
Well, that last game is going to be very important, obviously, because you have Green Bay playing Detroit. Whoever wins gets in. Do you play Jalen the last week?
They have to. If they want to win, they showed that Gardner Minshew can't do it. Right, to me, he can't. Like, they need this win. They need the bye. So to get that bye, they have to play Jalen Hurts.
Don't worry about what's in my cup. It's in my cup.
It's my cup.
It's my cup. Bridget, what's good? Glad to see you back here. Let's
Bridget,
go.
Bridget, it's been a minute. But I know you didn't bless your behind up in here talking about, let's go Dirty Bird.
Falcons?
And y'all just, y'all got lucky to beat Arizona, but goddamn, really? Y'all ain't
Did you get lucky? Did they get lucky?
She said they got as lucky, they got as lucky as we did.
It's Arizona, bro. It's Arizona. Come on. I mean, they won what, three games?
Four.
Come on. Four games? Come on. Yeah. Get out of here with that. Get out of here with that.
Bridget, girl, you tripping. I can't believe
what? Cowgirls. Whatever. Hey, you know that's what it is, Bridget. Hey, look, you know, shout out to all of Atlanta. It's a beautiful place. But Joe, Bridget.
Joe's a Georgia boy, Jay. Just so you know.
I understand. He's living delusional. Rise up, man.
And we're gonna, and I'm hoping we rise up to Atlanta this weekend and plug them dirty bird feathers too.
But I mean that I think you make a very good point though. Do you play Jalen? Yes, you have to keep that seed. I hate when coaches though say, you know, they have that coach talk, right? That coach speak of, you know, we're not really worried about seeding. We just want to play. No, you're worried about it because you want that first round bye so you can rest your players and you can see what's what. And you want home field advantage. Otherwise, you don't have it. Right. So, yes. No, I want you to, as a fan, yes, I want the first round bye. All right. That's between the lines. Let's get to this part of the show no one likes.
Hey, man, quit saying that, dog. You're going to like this one. It's quick. It's easy.
Let me drink out of my cup.
One got to go. Yes, y'all. It's the one segment that Jay Stoggs regrets ever letting me do. And I've
never.
So tonight, with all the sports stuff going on, one gotta go, Jay. March Madness, bowl games, College World Series, or the World Cup. One gotta go.
Say it one more time.
March Madness, bowl games, College World Series, or World Cup. One gotta
go. That's a tough one. So you're saying one of these has to go, I don't watch ever again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to say College World Series, man. I'm gonna have to, bro. Look, first I'm gonna put this up here. Maybe. I don't know. I was a toss up for me. I ain't shit about the World Cup. Between the World Cup.
She said, holla back. I can hear her saying it, though. That's what
holla back, World Cup.
That's what holla back.
Holla back. No, but for me, it's the College World Series. It's cool and all, but a lot of times you don't get the best players, and you won't see these players for at least another 3-4 years anyway. The way that the farm system works in baseball, and look, this last World Cup, this World Cup final was probably one of the best ones in a very, very, very long time. So, yeah, it's the College World Series.
Jay, do you know how many World Cup games I watched this year?
One.
Zero. Holla back, World Cup.
Stupid voice.
No, I mean, I understand. And yeah, as a soccer fan a sports fan, this is tough to pick because
it is.
I typically don't. I watch College World Series. I do, believe it or not. I know I laugh at baseball sometimes, but I like College World Series.
My God, Joe. Right? Yeah, I like it too. But
it's not the same energy, but just knowing some guys that, you know, when I was in college and how much that meant to them. I feel the pain. I'm saying about World Cup, personally. That's just me. March Madness can't
let me ask you a question. Do you watch the College World Softball Series?
I watched that more than the College World Series. I watched the girls play. And I think it's my boys like it. My wife likes it. And we all, I think the year before COVID, we all found ourselves just sitting down watching the softball series. And yes, I do. I really do. Like, I think it's really cool to watch because women's sports gets amplified and elevated a little bit more during those times. So it's cool to watch.
Yes, Joe. It was fire. It was so dope, man. It was such.
Hey,
it was.
Hey,
so
hey good. Joe, I might regret that decision I made later on, but right now, I, you know, it's my birthday. I done had a little bit in my red cup. I don't regret saying bye to the World Cup at all.
Aisha asked Big Game what's in his cup. Asking me.
She know me. She know what I drink. There's only so many things that's going to be up in there because,
well, hey, you know, I don't do the light stuff. Well, look, you know what time it is.
Oh.
It's time for that.
Let's hey, Jay, remind them all to hit the bell. Hit the thumbs up, too. When we go.
Okay. I'll remind y'all to hit the bell.
Even when you feel low, you can still go. Even when you feel slow, you can still go. Even when there's no hope, you can still go. I never answer to no, man, I still go. Go.
Make sure that you like, subscribe, and smash that bell. Hit the thumbs up. Make sure that you like it. Tell somebody about Big Game Sports Buzz and Big Game Entertainment. That way you know when we're on because we love, as you can see, interacting with you, our fellow podcasters. I feel like it's not just us. You're podcasting with us. So come on through and make sure that you understand, or actually make sure that you know that you can also catch us on Amazon, Spotify, as well as Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast or platform. Okay, so we're there. We're everywhere. This week's top five, there are people that have a top 100. Some have a top 50. Some have a top 25. Some point out and have a top 10. But here at Big Game Sports Buzz, we have a top five, right? Who's in, who's out? This week, top five sports moments of 2022. It could be any sports moment, not just NFL. Not just NFL.
You know, that wasn't necessary, y'all. Yeah, he took a shot at your boy, y'all. Just let y'all know.
Make sure that you put yours in the comments. We'd love to see them.
Yeah, please. If you got a top five sports moment 2022, let us know. This, hey man, Jay, I'm going out the Jay Styles book of top fives. There's no order to this. they were all major moments that I think impact the sports world. So there I'm just going to read a list off, and it's no particular order at all.
Yeah.
Just Brittany Griner's arrest in Russia.
Sure.
Just and it wasn't sports itself, but just a sports figure and how different people from different sports get treated. Mm-hmm. You know, it was just big. And I think it opened up and eyes across the world on, you know, different issues in life.
Yeah.
So, number two in my order, St. Peter University upsetting Kentucky in the first round and making it all the way to the Sweet 16 in NCAA basketball last year. Here it is, a small school in New Jersey nobody ever heard of, and then everybody running around talking about, go Peacocks! It was just, I love March Madness, dog. I love March Madness and what it brings. I think St. Peter's beating Kentucky was big.
Yeah.
One that I think is going to surprise you, because I don't think you have this. The Live Golf Association coming in and stealing away people from PGA. I just think it was big because of the country that was involved, the conflict that country has with America, and just a changing of, I don't know, just real weird to me. So I just think it was big. It made a lot of big news, big headlines. Live coming in, stealing away people from PGA. Yeah. This next one, I think one that might tug at your heart a little bit. Serena Williams announces her retirement from tennis.
The prototype. Serena, I still love you, babe. Still love you. Pull up anytime. So, anytime.
That restraining order might still be in place. Be careful.
It is, but that's all good.
And then one that I have on here that is kind of near and dear just because I know this person. Sandra Douglas Morgan was named the first black female president of an NFL franchise. That's right. Sandra Douglas Morgan was named president of the Las Vegas Raiders. I just think that's big. Sandra, hey, go Wolfpack. That's my girl. Yeah.
I'm not hating on you, Bridget. Yeah, her UGA Bulldogs and Stetson Bennett, who came in last place?
He said right before 2023 came in. I ain't mad at you, Bridget.
They kicked
that one, girl. That's one great moment in 2023.
Stetson Bennett, he came in last place, didn't he?
What did the holder do to the ball? Okay, keep going. My bad, Jay.
It's all good. Hey, actually, look, Brittany Griner was on my list as well, and I actually numbered these. But you know what? I'm going to take a page. I did. I numbered them. But I'm going to take a page out of my own book, and I'm just going to do it randomly. There is one, though, that I will say for last. Brittany Griner definitely was one for 2023. I also had PGA and LIV. Like you said, it's such a big story because it actually changed the face of, or actually the way PGA did their business, and it put their business out in the streets. You're pitting players against players, known players, great players against each other, talking trash. It's awesome.
And Dirty Laundry, yes, sir.
Aaron, for real, talking about great segue, Tom Brady drama. Man, that was a story that dominated everything, including CNN, Fox News, because it was he's retired, he's unretired. Now he's going through marital, you know, status and the whole thing with the crazy boy. I don't even want to say his name anymore, but right. You know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, that dude, AB. Man, look, that drama, wow. So yeah, that definitely was one for me. The trans swimmer, Leah Thomas.
Oh,
huge story.
Ooh.
Huge, huge story. And it definitely shined. We want to talk about shining lights on sports and shining sports, shining light on sports and what that means for everyone else. And it affected so many other people in having those conversations. So, yeah, that was definitely a big moment. And the fact that she won, was allowed to win NCAA, man, wow. And of course, my number one, you know what it is. My TCU Horned Frogs going to the championship where they're going to meet UGA, possibly win. And if they do win, that'll definitely be the biggest sports moment of 2023. And we can start it right on off. But yeah, those are my top five. Let's see your top five. Make sure that you put it in the comments. Make sure that you like, subscribe, smash that bell to know when Big Game Sports Buzz and all Big Game Entertainment comes through. Yo, I'm Jay Stocks, the Buff Nerd. Let's go.
And
thank you for sticking around with us.
James.
Thank you for sticking around with us, participating. We love it so much. Make sure that you continue. Be kind to each other. Love each other. Hey, life is short. Life is short. Okay. Yeah. Take the time, go see somebody maybe you haven't seen in a minute. Tell them, hey, you know what? You're not so bad.
Way to go, Jay Stocks, man.
You got
continue it. Continue to pray for DeMar Hamlin. And y'all have a great, happy new year. For the Buff Nerd, it's your boy, Big Game James. We out.
It's a big game. Who you know that got it behind the scenes like behind the O-line soon as the QB say hype? It's big game. Big game.